Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Thursday. First, with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Wednesday, and all of a sudden we're talking retirement age again. It's like there's an election this year. With UK taking measures to ban sexist ads, Nadine Higgins wants to have her say. We'll find out how sexist she is. A bit of weird pet talk with Kerry and Mark, and tunnel talk again with Marcus. Different kinds of tunnel this time. But first, James Shaw, he's a Greens co-leader, and he can't work with National.
There is an appetite, it seems, for a blue-green coalition. Would you consider it under any circumstances?
No, we've been very clear that at this election, we want to change the government, and that's why we signed the Memorandum of Understanding with the Labor Party last year. And that is because...
In hindsight, was that the best thing to do, do you think? That Memorandum of Understanding, yes. It ruled you out of potentially working with anyone else.
Yeah, I do. And look, I understand the sentiment, right? But the vast majority of voters want to know, am I voting for the status quo with National, or am I voting for change with a Labor-led government? And the vast majority of people who give their vote to the Green Party or are available to give their vote to the Green Party told us that their strong preference was for us to form a coalition with the Labor Party. So we just wanted to be very unambiguous with voters and to say, look, these are our intentions. And I think that's just an interest of being transparent.
Well, you say that, but in Canterbury, you know, the 25% favoured Blue-Greens. And there is very much, I think, an appetite in this country for people who want to vote on a number of social issues centre-right, but they also feel pretty principled on environmental issues and possibly some social issues as well. So if you look, say, to the Greens in Germany, they float. You know, they pick out three or four key policies and float between the left and the right. But crucially, they get in government and can bring about some change.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, right? But here in New Zealand, the vast majority of our voters were very clear with us about where they wanted us to go.
But then they're not going to get any change at all then. You know, is that not for you to communicate that message? I mean, if they say they want you to go with Labour and you're not going to get in government again, and then you can't do anything in opposition, you can't affect any change, can you not communicate that message to your voters that you might actually have to think about who you're going to go into coalition with?
So I think Rachel was suggesting there that although you may not want to get into bed with somebody, at least you end up having some sex, even though it might not be very good. Have I gone a bit explicit with that analogy? I may have. We may have to wind that back a bit. Quick, let's talk about the retirement age instead. Not sure what the Greens' policy is on this, but let's see what this guy's policy is. He's 70.
I was actually insulted by Gareth Morgan's remark about people who are pensioners who should get half their pension to support the young ones. That was an insult as far as I could. I'm 70. Mm. I've served overseas in the armed forces. I lost my wife at a very early age and brought up three children, and I've worked all my life and now unfortunately suffer a bit of bad health but manage. I just felt that was a personal insult to everybody that's worked hard all their life, and I believe that at our age now we should be looked after by the government. We've done our bit. It's up to now for the young ones to do theirs.
I don't disagree with you. At 70, I agree. Did you feel the same at 65?
Well, yes, I did. I retired at 66. I'd had enough. I had worked hard, physically manual work all my life, and I couldn't do any more. And I felt, well, the body's packing up, and it's time to roll over. And I also believe that at that age of 65 plus, it's time for the older people to move aside and let the younger ones take over the responsibility and the work ethics that men have done, male and female have done. And I think that's what they should be doing.
It's the same with housing. They should move out of the houses, the family houses, so then young families can move in.
Wait. This is getting out of hand. I'm completely on board with Jeff, the 70-year-old, saying that you can retire at whatever age you feel like when you feel old and you can't be bothered doing your job anymore, because I will retire tomorrow if we can make that happen. I don't mind a young person doing my job. Anybody can do this job. Shave Chimp could. But do I have to move out of my house? I don't understand the connection there. I mean, I guess I don't really mind as long as I can take my TV and my internet connection with me. This has all got very confusing. And now we're not allowed to have sexist ads anymore either. Or, in fact, be sexist at all. Here's Nadine Higgins standing in for Rachel Smalley.
But in reality, I'm just not sure that some onerous, nitpicking watchdog is going to be capable of keeping a lid on such things in the current media environment. Because advertising now is so all-pervasive. Every Facebooker and Instagrammer is plugging facials or furniture or free stuff. And many of them have more followers than TV shows have viewers. Some of them have more followers, in fact, than New Zealand has citizens. I mean, Kim Kardashian, for example, you can hardly regulate whether or not she photoshops herself or filters herself or whatever. You can't stop the influencers either from body shaming a new mum who hasn't lost the baby weight in half a heartbeat, or those who objectify women, or even those who objectify themselves. The messages in advertising, I reckon, are more subliminal than ever. So what do you do about it? Well, the best bet to stop that kind of advertising would be if we could resist being sucked into buying the stuff. Then perhaps the creatives could get a bit more creative than resorting to the tired old stereotypes, and maybe they could credit us all with actually having a brain.
So she's saying it's all right to be sexist as long as you do it cleverly. I think that's... This is why I'm sexist. This is why I think that women are cleverer than men, because I just usually have no idea what they're talking about. So it must be something very clever and well above my pay grade. Now, weird pets. This was the discussion that sounds like more on my level. Kerry and Mark were discussing this, and somebody called in from overseas.
Hello, Aaron.
Hi, I keep lizards.
Do you? What sort of lizards? Yeah.
Bearded dragons.
Are they otherwise known as the Komodo dragon, or is that a separate one entirely?
No. They're little ones from Australia, about get up to like a kilo.
Yeah, a friend of mine that lives in Sydney's got one. It's kind of, I don't know, I find it a bit strange, because they don't really do much, do they? You can't really, and patting them, it's not soft, like they're not pleasant to touch, really.
Their stomach's soft, but they do actually know who you are, and they will respond to you than to other people.
Yeah, this my friend sleeps in bed with him.
What?
I do too.
Yeah, there we go.
Why? why do they like warm things?
They just, once the temperature goes down, they just seem to zonk out, and they'll wake up in the morning and about 6 o'clock. But they just stay in the same place. So you can put them just to the side, and they won't move or anything like that. And
aren't you concerned you may roll over? I mean, I asked this of my friend as well, and he doesn't seem to be worried about it. Yeah, aren't you concerned that maybe you might roll over in the night and squish him?
They have like a bear that they sleep on, so. It's going to set up, so it's more for them than for me. Yeah. It's a bit weird, yeah.
No, not weird. Not weird. There are plenty of people who keep lizards, I suppose, but...
There are tons, yeah.
Yeah.
I think sleeping with lizards is a little bit weird. Our cat, one of our cats, comes and sleeps on our bed. I prefer that he does. He likes to take my place, and I end up being pushed over to the side, or sort of off the side, because the domestic manager seems to like having the cat there more than me. And then we've got another cat that doesn't really like me, so that cat doesn't sleep on the bed when I'm there. Comes in when I'm gone. I feel like I'm not the most popular person in the house. I feel like there's the two kids, the two cats, and then me. And we've got a couple of fish. I mean, obviously they don't sleep in the bed because they'd make it damp. I haven't actually asked whether she'd prefer to have them in the bed, but possibly. This podcast has really depressed me today for some reason. I'm not quite sure why. Let's have some cherry tunnel talk. Thanks, Marcus.
The thing that really got me going on the news tonight is the situation with Albert Park with these tunnels. Now, I've been on this guy's Facebook page forever, and this guy has campaigned and campaigned and campaigned to get these tunnels under Albert Park opened. And he's finally had a meeting with the council. And this guy, I don't know his name, I forget his name, I could look up, but this guy has been a total a total leading example of tenacity and determination. Because it looks like the council is going to respond to his idea and do it. And you know why that's making sense? Because it's a fantastic idea. For those that don't know, it's an Auckland story, but it's a good story because it's about embracing our war history. Because so many things about this country got built for World War II. We've never used them again. All these gun emplacements that should be cafes or hostels for tourists. But now, in fact, between the bottom of Parnell Rise and Victoria Street, there's this massive great tunnel. And he's going to get open for cafes and walkways and glowworm tours. I've been in those tunnels. It'll be sensational. So bring it on. I think it's a great idea.
I don't know about the cafes. I've been in quite a few tunnels. Like, you know, they've got them in various places, haven't they? These tunnels under old artillery battlements and things. They all stink of urine. I don't know if you've noticed that. People go in there and wee in there in the middle of the night. I think that's what happens. And I'm not sure that that's conducive to a good cafe atmosphere. I mean, it'll be unique, but whiffy. I am Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB for Thursday. I will see you back here again tomorrow, hopefully with a slightly fresher smelling podcast then.